You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. Going to be talking tonight about the X-Files. But more importantly, I'm going to be asking the question, does the X-Files still matter? So, in the process, I'm going to talk about my thoughts, my feelings about the series in general. I'm going to then take a quick break to promote two other podcasts in the ESO network. And then I'm actually going to be talking then about the first two episodes of the X-Files. And hopefully, by the end of my podcast, I'll actually answer that question about, does the X-Files still matter? So, just to kind of play catch-up, I do apologize. I wanted to do this podcast much, much earlier, but due to time constraints, I was able to do a guest spot on Mike Faber's podcast for Air Station 1, episode 302, in which I took the geek seat, which I have not listened to, but I feel that I must warn you. I'm sure that I will sound like an idiot on there, but if you want to listen to what I had to say and the questions I had to answer, I'm sure you'll get a kick out of it. I don't think I would, because I felt like an idiot, but in any case, it's out there, and I'm okay with it. So having to have done that last week, my daughter had her 15th birthday, which we went up to Orlando this past weekend to celebrate. So I didn't really have a whole lot of time to talk about the X-Files at all last week. So I've been kind of rewatching the episodes. I took some notes, and I wanted to kind of finally get this through and get it done because I've been like wanting to talk about this, at least to someone, if it's not to just this podcast, but just to someone, say, hey, yeah, I saw that too, and yeah, your thoughts are spot on, or something to that effect. I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling on. So let's start off with this. When I started working at Borders, again, I've thrown countless stories into Borders into my podcast, but this is one of those situations in which it's kind of, it works as being a fan of the show. To have a following that you're willing to put on some type of an event in a bookstore. So I had, with the help of others, did an X-Files premiere episode. I think it was for season 3 or 4. I'm not sure which. We did like a crime scene. And we had like a fake lay. We had burned ashes. So we had it roped off. And we gave those customers folders of like in a medical examiner to see what is wrong with the body or what's detailing about the case or what important information did they find. So basically they had like rubber gloves and they had a case file and all this and had information to call and all this. So it was pretty elaborate that we just went through this whole thing and we actually got our local Channel 7 company, news company, to come out and actually did a live spot for us about the premiere. So I was really psyched about them coming. So even though it was a good crowd, and of course I was interviewed but didn't make the cut, it was an interesting turn of events that I wanted to do this again for next year. So the following season, upping the game, I wanted to make some kind of like huge gray alien and have an alien autopsy in which the chest was opened up and you would have it all filled like with candy and people can go in and grab candy and so forth, because that's what aliens are made of, candy. So the idea came to me about doing the alien, but the construction basically was using chicken wire and then using plaster wraps to make the body, and of course then we painted gray and so forth. But the weird part of that story was that in the fiction section, as we're straightening up during the night, somehow there was a brassiere stuck in between books. So rather than saying, hey, this is disgusting, I'm going to throw it out, I had a thought. The cups were actually a good size. They were kind of a weird shape, but I could work with it. And I'm like, oh, I can use this for the eyes, for the aliens. And I actually wound up doing that. And I dyed them black using a Sharpie. And having that be part of the face, it looked phenomenal. And it took me weeks to get it done. But again, we didn't really have as much in way of coverage, but I thought it was just a cool thing to have this huge, you know, 3 to 4 foot alien body with candy stuck inside of it, and we're watching, you know, the X-Files premiere. So I love the show. There's no doubt about my fascination, my love to see the show from week to week and not do something about it. But it was weird that as popular as the show was getting, there was a kind of like a traveling show, like a fan convention type, in which they would have props from the show. You can do like this fake green screen effect where you can sit behind Mulder's desk and you see the I Want to Believe poster in the background. You had guests from the Lone Gunman appearing as guests. But it wasn't really huge. It wasn't like Star Trek fandom or Star Wars. It was nothing like that. But it was enough that it made some interesting moves. In fact, it leapt from the small screen to the big screen. So we got to have our first X-Files movie back in 1998, which was great. So if you were following the X-Files, you saw the season finale, you watched the movie, and you come back, the new season started and it picked up. That's how you really work a movie like that. Not this whole Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. That was just crap. So I'm not going to get into that because you guys know that already. So again, it was brilliant stuff, but I think when season 6, when the production moved to from Vancouver to Los Angeles, David Duchovny really wanted to be closer to his wife and his family, and you know, it's understandable. But then come season 7, things started to kind of fall off the wagon, and there was kind of some kind of dispute between some, I guess not royalties, but payment, in which the company was promised X amount of dollars based on the TV rights that Fox undersold. So basically we saw less of David Duchovny throughout the series, and it pretty much I stopped watching from that point on. Not that he was the draw to me, because really it's Fox and Scully. Those two characters are what the whole point of the series is about. So if you don't have Fox, you really kind of like you're up in the air. You're not sure if this is even worth your time. So when that was all said and done, and it finally made it to its finale, that's when I tuned in. Nothing else, just to see how this would all wrap up. So nothing really special. It was just like, okay, it's done. Oh, Cancer Man's still there, and now he's in some kind of Indian garb, and there's a missile heading towards him. So I guess that's the end of him, right? And then there's the baby. So you have, you know, Mulder and Scully having a baby together, and it's cute. All right. So that's it. And then we get that other movie in 2008. The I Want to Believe movie. That was really a piece of crap. I've wasted time and effort to even bother watching this. And it was, I guess, pretty much everything that was up to that point, you didn't really care about this because it was not worth the treatment that you need to see on big screen. This was a very small screen episode. And it wasn't even a good one on top of that. We've seen this kind of storyline, and I really didn't care after that. So I was kind of scratching my head as to why would there be a need to watch more X-Files? I mean, 2002 was the last episode, so we're looking about 14 years later, in which we get a limited run of 6 episodes, which is kind of interesting. But honestly, do we really, really need to have another series? I mean, we've gotten like Heroes Reborn, which was dead for a while, brought back, kind of like now, 6 seasons later, that we're taking off on season 10, and we have a brand new cast of characters and older characters brought back. That didn't go anywhere after 13 episodes. It wasn't picked up, so I knew after the first episode this was not going to be something that I even cared about. Again, I liked the first season of Heroes. After that, the subsequent seasons are just dismal and gets progressively worse. And Heroes Reborn was just not a good idea. So again, when we have the X-Files back, we now have this as season 10 as opposed to the missing season like in Heroes Reborn. So season 9 ended, and then we get 14 years gap, and then we get season 10. So it's kind of interesting that they went with that, bringing back aging characters and still working within their new physical limitations because they are older. And this is not the first time that we've seen this. You know, think about Tron Legacy, which Flynn has gone missing all these years and he's in this movie. We also have Star Wars, in which and then Force Awakens, we get Chewie, we got Han, you got Leia, and even Luke, though he says nothing, back for, you know, another go around. Sometimes it's great to watch these old characters and bring them back, and it makes you reminded of what you loved about them. But then you would get something like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and you're like, wow, Harrison, you really are that old. I don't think you should be doing this anymore. And even though they try to phase in or make it look like Harrison's doing his own stunt, which we know it's not him, but every time you see his back, oh, stunt guy, stunt guy, stunt guy. And that's all it is. And even then, it's not even that great. So there are some cases in which it's an homage. In some cases, it's just like, come on, guys, really? Enough. I mean, think about another series that just came to mind, Battlestar Galactica, the original one that came on TV. Lasted only for one season, but yet they brought it back for Galactica 1980. The only main character that stayed through this was Adama. Now, he's much older, but then there was a new cast of characters, and I guess they died along the way. But then they made it to Earth to kind of save money on space stuff. They made this now an Earth-based series, which is kind of a cheat, but I get why they did this. So again, I think there is an expectation of we want to leave things on a good note. Return of the Jedi. We had all these great characters. You know, Han is in love with Leia. We know eventually they get together and have children. Luke, we don't know what happens, but he has at least a resolution with his father, which was Vader. Sorry, spoiler alert. But, you know, these characters are in a good place. The problem lies is that if we bring them back, things change. Attitudes change. Relationships change. And then we see something like in The Force Awakens, again, spoiler alert, where you see a much older Han Solo being killed by his son. And you know that relationship between Leia and Han didn't work out. And it's kind of heartbreaking to see how you left things on such a high note, kind of like, wow, you're starting off on a downer. You know, Luke's gone missing. No one's seen him for all these years. There's no love between Han and Leia, sort of. And the son that they had together winds up killing the father. So it's like, this is really messed up. So, does the X-Files have any hope in achieving such a good thing? Well, I'll talk about that in a moment. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a quick promo for Vitamin Geek Podcast as well as Earth Station MCU. Again, they're part of the Earth Station or the ESO Network. So take a listen, and I'll come back and talk about, finally, about my thoughts on the first two episodes of The X-Files Season 10, Episodes 1 and 2. Yay!
Hey guys, are you looking for a new podcast to listen to? Something a little on the geeky side, but lots and lots of fun with some crazy dudes? Well, have I got something for you. It's called the Vitamin Geek Podcast. I'm the host, Corey Keelan, and I'm here with my friends, Eric Williams.
What's up?
Patrick Sykes.
Greetings, everyone.
And Michael Zippy Miller.
Hey there.
We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Horror movies, science fiction. We love Star Wars. Who doesn't love Star Wars? If you don't like Star Wars, get the hell off of here. Check us out, man. Vitamin Geek Podcast, right here on the ESO Network.
It's all part of the plan.
Hello, Marvel Universe. The Earth Station MCU Podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
All right, so we are back for my analysis, so to speak, for episodes 1 and 2 for the X-Files. Again, this is for season 10, so again, spoilers. Not that I'm going to be giving away much detail, because I hate to recap a story point by point, because if you watched it, then it makes no sense to do that. So I'm just going to bring up certain things that I want to question, or some things I want to bring to your attention. So one of the things I liked right off the very beginning, Mulder is giving a monologue, basically, of everything about the X-Files. So if you've never watched it, in a nutshell, you knew everything you need to know within a couple of minutes at the beginning of the show. He also mentioned at the end of 2002, technically, that was the last X-Files movie. He made no mention of the movie that came out afterwards, the 2008 case. So that was a kind of a cool thing. So I kind of laughed about that for myself, because I'm geeky and nerdy and stupid that way. So we get to see, finally, an older Scully and an older Fox. And it's interesting to see them again. And what's interesting about that, of course, like myself, who's getting older, I'm going to be in my 50s in a couple of years and joining that great company called AARP so I can get my jitterbug phone soon. I know there are certain things that, wow, this is something that I used to do, but now I can't physically do this anymore. So they kind of played a lot of those restrictions to the characters. There's not a whole lot of action that's going on in this episode. So, but there is talk about him aging as well as her. And they sound a bit different too. It's a lot more raspier in their voices, more so in the second episode than in the first. So it's kind of hard at times to watch them because I'm also reminded of, I don't look that way, you know, when I was a kid or when I was in my 20s, I look completely different. So if you were ever to see pictures of me, you see that I used to have hair, a gorgeous mane of hair, like a horse's mane down my back. But now I'm a completely different person. So it's interesting to see that they're trying to reestablish these characters that we used to care about. And there is something still there between them, even though there are lines or there's looks or situations that makes you feel like this relationship didn't end well. Kind of like with Han and Leia. Things didn't work out. And it's heartbreaking because you know they had so much respect for each other. And yet, out of all that, out of all the things they've been through, you would think being in love or being with each other would be an easy thing to do. But apparently, that's the very thing that, while working together, was made them strong, also made them, I guess, fall out of love in that situation. So it's like only so much more like geekiness if I was to really go full blast that my wife would put up with, in essence. Although that's probably the reason why she fell in love with me in the first place, is those kind of geeky qualities. But I can understand that if it's a case of Mulder and his paranoia that is really escalating a lot more since the days of the X-Files. So it's, again, it's kind of hard to see this because you really want them to be together always. So, all right. So again, moving on from those characters, we see, you know, even the X-Files office has been cleaned out and Mulder gets upset. He kicks the poster and rips off the I Want to Believe poster, which is, you know, very iconic to who Mulder is. So it goes further about everything that he believed with alien abductions and these Freak of the Weeks. Is it really the government that's really now all behind this? They're the ones that have been practicing on human patients with this weird alien DNA, and perhaps they're the ones that created all these Freaks of the Weeks that they had to investigate. So it really kind of plays on his psyche, because that's, his whole life was revolved around the unexplainable, the paranormal activities, things that were beyond normal comprehension. He was looking for answers in those situations. But what also worked too was that there were the strong alien or UFO storylines that was paid throughout the whole series. So right from the very beginning, this series, or the pickup of the series 10, episode 1, goes right back to what worked for the series, is that alien storyline. And we get that immediately. So for the most part, it feels natural. Even though it's hard to watch the characters, you know, kind of go through the motions and it's not there yet. Hopefully they will find that rhythm that they used to have and play off each other. But I think that whole reconnection is a process that has to happen slowly before it happens like it used to. So it's kind of like there's still distance between them, even though there is something between them still. So the other thing that that really was interesting, O'Malley, who was the guy who is the, even a Mulder would idolize this guy, really guy who would put the stuff out there even more so about conspiracies, that when Mulder was talking about everything that was going on with everything from UFOs to cover-ups, O'Malley would go even further with the whole militarization of the police force and Patriot Acts. It was just like going on and on and on, and it was really playing back into, oh, this really kind of does make sense. So as crazy as it all sounds, it really makes you want to rethink about, this is really happening, and we're just letting things be as they are, as normal things. When reality, when you step back from it, like, oh my God, really, why does a police force need to have a tank that's meant for war on, you know, U.S. soils? They don't need that, but there it is. And it's not like it's all made up. It's for real. So that's the one thing I liked about them tying in real events into the storyline. So to me, it sounds less fictiony than just, let's put this in context of the X-Files, and it works that way. So the other thing that we see again towards the end of the episode is Cancer Man. Looky, looky, he's back once more. Now he's smoking through his neck instead of his mouth. So he's got a tricky out of me, and he's smoking out of his neck. I'm like, really, Cancer Man? You can't be beat, can you? Although, in fairness, there was that one episode in which we have this whole backstory on how he became Cancer Man. And it's heartbreaking because he was in love once, and that love, when it was closed, that darkness just returned back to him. And there was just that one quick moment of, like, he could actually be a good guy. And that was all changed. So he is forever the nemesis that is never going to die, apparently. But the one thing I did love is that he never wants the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, to ever go to the Super Bowl. And that came true one time. And I love that. So we got that going. And then we get episode 2. Episode 2 is going to be the alternate story, which is the monster of the week, or the situation of the week, in which is unexplainable phenomenon that's going on, and the both of them, Fox and Scully, are there to solve the case. So again, playing back into the storylines in which both people are involved in the series. Unlike, again, where Fox goes off missing and you got new agents with Scully and it's nothing. They know what they have to work with, and what works well with them is the both of them in the situations with, you have UFOs, the conspiracies on one end, and then you got the monsters, or the unexplained situations in which the case is presented to them and they have to work together to solve it. So within just that one quick episode, The Founder's Mutation, I was back into that kind of, oh, now I remembered why I like these guys, because there was a little bit more revelation about their situation. And I think what's even more, I guess, heartbreaking, because there's something about a line that Scully gave the child away, William, away at birth. She has a picture of him, but as a baby. And during the episode, they wondered, or at least harkened back to the whole DNA manipulation. You know, what if something happened to that baby? And Scully is thinking about her child, and she's thinking about something that happened to him, and he's just not a normal child. And one brief moment, and again, this is one of those rare moments, she's imagining taking her child to school on first day of school. And he makes some kind of a joke, and she laughs. We never get to hear her laugh. And I thought that's kind of, it's heartbreaking, because she's never, it's always everyone laughs, but it's rare when you hear that one moment of joy. And she was in that moment of joy, even though it was just a memory that she made up about her son. And that was hard. The other side, when Fox thought about his son watching 2001, explaining to him about the monolith, and then him being older and doing the rocket launch, again, these are just memories that they would make up, and Mulder's there by himself, looking at the exact same little baby picture, wondering about his child as well. So, I find that to be so much more compelling between the two characters, that they both have this longing, this pain that they both feel, but yet they can't tell that to each other, or at least they're not able to get to that point in which they can at least convey to each other how much they miss their child, even though they both know that it was for the right reasons to put the child up for adoption, to keep it hidden, but at what price? It's that loving relationship they could have had together between their child and themselves. So, and then, you know, it was a great episode. The one thing that was kind of interesting, Kyle was the, I guess, the DNA kid that had the mental abilities, or at least he was trying to get someone like Sanjay, the guy who killed himself in the very beginning of the episode, to help him find his sister. And of course, throughout the course of this episode, we finally get to find his sister, and she's on one side of a plane of glass, and he's on the other side, and they push their hands together, and then they kind of able to vibrate it and shatter it. So basically, they became like the Wonder Twins, where their power is now activated. So it was kind of like, nerdy me, Wonder Twins. Who's Zan? Yeah, that's him. That's Jaina. Where's Gleek? I don't know where Gleek is. Anyway, so the other thing that I liked, it was a quick little scene. There was a girl that was at the hospital, that her name was Agnes, was talking to Agent Scully and Mulder about wanting to leave. And she couldn't, of course, leave, but she was pregnant with a child, and she knew something was going on, or things were going on being done to her and her baby, or at least to her baby. And in the background, there is a scene from Escape from the Planet of the Apes, in which Cornelius and Zira, you know, are there with their baby. And it was kind of like, I geeked out on that moment, because it was kind of funny that that's what's going on about the whole baby notion of becoming, you know, Caesar, be able to talk and so forth, you know. Not that it was any weird connection to her, but I just thought the weird correlation about her baby being in jeopardy and having to hide it and so forth, I thought that was just kind of cute. Because again, that's just me being nerdy, and I like those little moments. So aside from that, that's about it. I liked both episodes. Although, in fairness, I thought O'Malley's character, Joel McHale, who played him, was somehow, I guess, interested in Scully, and they guess they had a past relationship. I found that to be, you know, of course, in my dreams, I would love to have been there, but it never felt like it worked. It didn't gel for me. I never got the sense that why would she find him interesting, that kind of thing. So that, I don't know. But he is going to be coming back at the end of, or at least by episode 6, to, I guess, tie up everything for this season, and we'll see if we get another season out of this. But as of right now, 2 episodes in, I think it's smart that they kept it short. Of course, brought back the 2 leads. But it was interesting that, you know, as Jillian was being brought in, she was only being paid half the salary of David Duchovny, which is ridiculous. There's no need to have her be at a lower rate when both are needed to make the series work. And sure, David left, Jillian carried on, but in fairness, it only works when both of them are together. And just in two episodes, it shows it does work. It still matters. So I'm interested to see how it all pans out in the next four episodes. And I'm not saying that I would want to see another X-Files movie. I just don't think it's a need for. But I would be okay with either another season or every once in a while do a TV movie, a two-hour TV movie. Kind of like what they do with Sherlock. You know, their seasons are just three episodes, but their episodes are an hour and a half long. So basically, they're movie size, and that's fantastic. So if they can do that and keep the quality with, not so much with the writing, but with their acting and playing into their struggle and not having a family, not having each other's inner lives, including their baby, as long as they keep doing that and make us care about these characters, I'm okay with them doing the UFO conspiracy stuff or the monster of the week or the freak of the week. So it still wouldn't matter to me to watch this more so than pretty much any other series at this point. So I'll leave it at that. So let me know what you think. You can email me at themonstersci-fi show@gmail.com or find my Facebook page on Facebook. And then, of course, there's Twitter with the Monster Sci-Fi Show Siffy handle. That's MonsterSyfy Show. So find me there as well. And as I talked about also in the previous podcast that I did something for Movie Pilot. So I finally got that up and running. Yay. I will have a link on the podcast in show notes, in which you can read my thoughts on Arrow possibly bringing back Deathstroke. Anyway, I will be doing an upcoming show. I'm going to record a show for Librarians Assemble coming February 15th. So that's going to be working on my library side, which I'll be talking about that really soon. Later this week, I will do the other half of this two-parter podcast, which is the Legends of Tomorrow episodes 1 and 2, which, again, I really wanted to do this in one episode, but it's going to be a lot more work for me to do in one night. And, of course, Deadpool's coming out in a couple of weeks. I definitely want to talk about that, and hopefully Mr. Gene, if you're listening, him and I will talk about this after we watch it. So, there's lots to talk about, there's lots to read, things are happening, and I hope things are happening for you as well. So on that note, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-Fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.